This morning, just for the next few minutes, I've chosen to speak about unity. Because the world is just so fractured at the moment. And the narrative being fed to us day by day in the news, on the radio, on the internet, is one of disunity. And so actually we need to fight as Christians as strong as ever, by the grace of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, against that. And that is why I've chosen to speak today about unity. Unity among Christians, through good times and through difficult times. And it is something that I often thank God for in this community of grace. But we should never, ever take it for granted. Always, Christians need to be conscious of maintaining and sustaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, especially during times of change and uncertainty, especially during times of change. It is said that the snowflake, just picture a single snowflake in your mind now, if you can. It is said that a snowflake is one of nature's most fragile things. But just look at what they can all do when they stick together. Snow, the power and possibilities of unity. And in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, which he longed to visit. A new church made up of many, many different people, of all ages and stages, a phrase we often use here. He was writing to them to teach and encourage them in the news of salvation being saved through Jesus, to root them in Jesus and in the Holy Scriptures, and also to encourage them in Christian unity together. God's word was as vital then as it is today. As vital in around about 57 AD as it is in 2026 AD. So let's just briefly look at how these verses help root us in Jesus Christ. Firstly, verses 1 and 2, Paul exhorts at the beginning of this chapter, saying, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings, the struggles of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build them up, for their good, to build them up." And Paul immediately goes to the heart of the nature of God. And therefore he goes to the heart of our nature as followers of God, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. The nature that is generous love for our neighbour, for those around us. And you'll hear the echo of the second commandment there, of course. Love your neighbour as yourself. But though we often hear this in most communion services, if we're honest, in our frailty, I'm not calling you all snowflakes, but in our frailty, we also often find it hard to do as we are commanded. And again, how easy it is to be caught up in the divisive narrative of the world and to start spouting that again. And in my own brokenness, I fall into that trap as much as anybody. There is a poem of G.K. Chesterton's that goes, "The villas and chapels where I learned with little labour the way to love my fellow man and hate my next door neighbour. It comments on how we can hear the familiar call in the Bible to love neighbour, yet the practice of our heart sometimes moves a long way from this. Not especially always our immediate neighbour in the house next door, but our neighbour in life, those all around us, our neighbour in our Christian communities in which we live too. And our parish, this parish of Kingsdown, that we are called to serve as a Church of England parish church, is full of such neighbours. The lonely, the sick, the frightened, the homeless, the young looking for purpose and meaning, the seniors needing company and care, the addicts struggling with debilitating illness, the list goes on. That is representative of all those in this parish, around us, and more. These are our neighbours Christ Church is called to serve and share the good news of Jesus Christ with. Each of us, if poor, should please his neighbour for his good, to build them up, for their good, to build them up. And as he calls us to do this, as those who have the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, what happens to us when each of us commits our life to follow Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I want to follow you and your ways. The Holy Spirit of God enters into us as it did with that dove descending when Jesus was baptized himself. We are given the same Holy Spirit of God to be with us, in us, and guide us. And as he calls us to serve in this way, those with the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us, we remember that that is what we want for every other person around us, to know the presence and power of that same Holy Spirit in their lives, and to know that Jesus is their Saviour, to know the good news of Jesus Christ, not just some worldly love, good though that is, but the love that results in salvation. So there's sometimes hostile responses or indifference to our faith is in fact a weakness and a vulnerability, and that's why Paul uses that word in this reading. It is not a weakness in the way the world might proclaim weakness when you compare it to worldly power. It is a weakness and vulnerability that needs love and encouragement and a guidance in the ways of Jesus. And it needs from us a desire for their good, to build them up in a faith of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Don't just bear with them, says Paul, just to keep them off our backs, but bear with them for their good, for their salvation. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer, writer of the Narnia books too, said, "Don't waste time bothering about whether you love your neighbour. Act as if you did. And when you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them." I'm deeply challenged by that sentence of C.S. Lewis's, and I feel like getting on my knees and asking for God's grace and forgiveness when I hear it. And I know that each one of us needs the help and encouragement of the Holy Spirit to do more and more of that, to reshape and remold and cleanse our minds from all the other stuff that gets in and clutters it. All we do isn't necessarily easy or straightforward, and we may never live to see the results of much of our giving in love in this way. To give and not count the cost, to ask and not to seek any reward except for knowing that we do the will of Jesus Christ. Because showing God's grace in each situation makes all the difference, whether they are difficult situations or they are easy situations. And we trust in him for this. Paul then goes on, to root his exhortations in the firm ground that is Jesus. Look at verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Who is our example to love like this? Well, not thankfully the vicar, but we hope generally the vicar, he or she will help. Not some local bigwig who people might look up to. None of us provides ultimately enough examples of loving our neighbour. We can try in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference, and we will do. But the ultimate example of this, of course, is Jesus, who shows us the way by always, always, always setting the interests of others before his own. To illustrate this point, Paul points us to Scripture. Because the Bible and the authority of God's word ends all argument. People insulted God then by their behaviour, as they still do now. And you know, we hear it, don't we, all the time, the blaspheming words of our society. But you know, every time I hear it, it hurts. People insulted God then by their behaviour as they still do now. And it was those insults then and now that Jesus bore on himself as he suffered for us on the cross. Jesus is our pattern in life. If he bore the insults and the horrors of the sin of the world to bring us back into relationship with God forever, then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can too, selflessly, bear those around us, even when we disagree with each other. We can actually love, we can bend in love, because of what Christ has done for us. If we choose not to do so, we are turning away from God. Verse 4 of Romans 15. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope. The encouragement of Scripture and the encouragement of God never fails. He is committed to his people. And through persistence and this encouragement, we might, says Paul, have salvation, have hope rather, of salvation, of life in all its fullness. And when we taste those bits of life in all its fullness, they are beautiful. So, love our neighbour selflessly, not just for form's sake, but however difficult the situation is, with a loving intent to try our best to build them up, as Jesus did, and root ourselves in him and in the Bible. Go back to the Bible all the time when we are struggling. Paul then interjects a short prayer that begins with words of affirmation and comfort about the God who is the source of endurance, keeping going, and encouragement on our Christian journey. He prays in verse 5 for a spirit of unity for all followers of Jesus Christ. This is so important. This is Paul's goal in this section of his letter to the Romans. Exhorting us, encouraging us to follow Jesus' example in loving one another in Christian communities. How can Christian communities encourage unity in the world if we are divided amongst ourselves? So Paul prays for unity as you follow Jesus Christ. Unity that keeps disagreements in perspective. Unity that gives us wisdom, founded on a thorough grounding in the Holy Bible, in God's Word. Unity that helps to address our differences in the Christian spirit. And if the prayer of the Apostle Paul is powerful, so much more powerful is the prayer of Jesus Christ himself, which we find in John 17, praying before his death for his disciples, for them. My prayer, said Jesus, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Isn't it incredible? Jesus prayed then for you very, very specifically. Unity that keeps disagreements in perspective, that gives us wisdom. And if the prayer tells us one thing, it reminds us to go back to that prayer time and time again. And as we look towards the future as a church community, in this church community or in the communities from wherever you come in your worship of Jesus Christ and you're following him, as we look towards the future and as we look towards change ahead, remember, when Christian people seek the good of the other, to build each other up in faith, great things can be achieved for God. And then we come right then to the heart of Christian worship. And as Paul's prayer says, verse 6, we shall then, with one heart and mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful and encouraging exhortation to you and me as we go from here today and step back out into the world around us to live as followers of our Lord and Saviour, the risen Jesus. Amen.